Before I begin, I don't often do a disclaimer in sermons, but this morning I'm going to do one because of the subject topic that we're speaking on, which of course is pressure from the home front. We did part one last week. The actual today is how to survive and thrive when under pressure from the home front. So my disclaimer then is that before I begin the sermon, I want to acknowledge for some, it is too late. The battle has been fought and lost, unfortunately, right? And in some cases, it's been lost a long time ago. The pressure was intensified really good, and the only solution seemed to be at the time to give in. So if you're in that category this morning, the last thing I would want to do, of course, is put you under any pressure. However, the good news is the Lord may be giving us a second chance. All have caved in under pressure a certain time. So the Lord may be giving us a second chance, and hopefully then this sermon will be actually of help to you. It will help to guide us and steer us in a certain direction. I thought that was important because the last thing you would want is someone to feel under pressure because they've been under pressure for a long time anyway. It shouldn't be like that. From the home front, there should be support. There should be encouragement. There should be all of that. But we live in a fallen world of where people view things differently. And pressure comes from immediate family, extended family, and even this week, church family. It can come from anywhere. And it does come from all three at different times. That's the truth. And church family can be very pressurized as well. I failed to mention that last week. Anyway, our text is Mark chapter 3, 31 to 34. And this is Jesus under pressure, on the home front, and how he's going to deal with it. Well-known passage. I'll read it first of all. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent somebody in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." That's our text, a word of prayer. Lord, we pray that only what needs to be said will be said. Only what is helpful for us to not cave in under pressure will also be said. And Lord, for those of us who may have not got it right the first time, that this will be a second opportunity, Lord, to press on and move on. We thank you that you are a God of second chances. And Lord, without it, none of us would stand. This, Lord, we ask for us here in New Life and for those who listen at another time on the web. May we know your presence. May we know the power of your Spirit. And may we be faithful to fulfill the mission and commission that you have given to us. This, Lord, we ask in your name. And all God's people said, Amen. All right, there we are. Pressure from the home front. Well, it's very easy to see it. Jesus is ministering. Word has gone back. And Mary and extended family have come. Their assessment of Jesus and Jesus' ministry is that he has lost his mind, that in some way he is mentally deranged. So they arrive at this particular setting where Jesus is teaching and ministering and doing all kinds of things, flat out. People are coming and going at a huge rate. And so this is the context. So they come and they stand aside and they send somebody in to call him. Now, you see, being pressurized is not a nice thing. It's never a nice feeling, especially when it's done by those closest to you. But it's significantly worse, and I know some experience, when it's done in public, because it's adding pressure upon pressure. What's happening here is happening in public. We would use the phrase, they're having a go. Never have a go at Jesus, by the way. Never have a go at him. Never put a gun to his head. Never put a gun to his head. But they're doing this. And obviously, when people are determined, be it an individual or a group of people, are determined to get their own way, they feel justified and have no difficulty whatsoever in piling on the pressure, be it public or private. I'm amazed that this thing is not addressed more often. I suppose You don't want to be having goes at, not having go at anyone, indeed. But you can see it's real life, isn't it? And that's the pressure that Jesus is under. And it's a fair amount of pressure, isn't it? Now, in relation to Jesus, because when we are in the situation of where somebody is being put on the spot, do you know what we do? Well, maybe you're holier than me. Some of us do. You're observing what's going on. You're looking for the human reactions, words that have been seen, how the person is coping with the pressure, what kind of answers they're giving. We've all seen that situations. Don't talk to me about Christian dinners. I'll never be healed. But there's a situation of where when you're put on the spot, it is very difficult. Now, I want to ask a question, though. Now, in relation to Jesus, had they any right to come and do what they did? In your opinion, they thought that he was insane. I suppose you think if they thought that, then they were coming to rescue him. You couldn't have got a saner person in the desert than Jesus, you know. I suppose they were probably thinking his earthly family counts for something. Who is closest to you then? Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. And obviously, that's where it works. So, first part of 31, standing outside, they sent somebody in to call him. Now, my question to you is very simple. With our mindset and our values, how do you think Jesus should respond to the request? What protocol should he use? All these things are very important in evangelical circles. Actually, they're very important in all our circles. Correct responses and protocol. Let me give you three options that Jesus had, all right? They have sent in the word. He never comes out, by the way. He never actually meets them, which is quite remarkable. But I'm jumping ahead of myself. So how do you think he should react? Let me give you three options that we think most times. The first thing he could say is, Jesus could have said, let's take a 5-minute break. I just want to say a quick hello to my family who have just arrived. That would be a very polite and mannerly response, wouldn't it? Option two, Jesus could have sent out a message when he heard the word said to his family saying, I am in the middle of something, but I will be out as soon as I can. And he was in the middle of something, by the way. Option three, Jesus could say to the crowd that was sitting around him, he could say, please make some room for my family who have just arrived. Now, any of those answers would be seen as reasonable and socially acceptable. And it's the kind of thing that you'd expect Jesus to say, isn't it? If he was operating on our social etiquette and how we should interact. Do you know what I love about Jesus? He rips right through all that stuff. You couldn't get somebody more gracious, so merciful, but anywhere there was any form of pretense or things that kept people in bondage, he would just go right through it and not give it the time of day. That about him I really like. So, the request has come in. So, he doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he asks this very strange question. Very strange question. Well, who are my mother and my brothers, he asked. In other words, who are the closest to me or who matters the most? We would say the obvious answer is your earthly family. And that, of course, is not how he answers. As far as Jesus is concerned, family and God are not equal. They are no way equal. Family is important, don't get me wrong. But family and God are not equal. And he made that distinction very, very clear by what he didn't do. He didn't come out and cave in to the pressure that was put on him. He asked us an amazing question, who are the closest to me? And we would say, and people have said, when pressure has been on and piled on is, well, family should matter the most. Not according to Jesus. In this situation, this has got to do with the will and the purposes of God that is to be fulfilled. And Jesus will not bow to that kind of pressure. Now, when that kind of pressure comes and the people are watching you, to see how you're going to respond, you only have two choices. When we're under pressure, we think, gosh, what are we going to do here? You've only two choices, really. And choice number one is, you either give in and you crumble under the pressure, which, by the way, happens most of the time. Or option two, you rise above it and you hold your ground. They're the only two things you can do. There's nothing in between when you're pressurized like this. Or in this case, when Jesus is pressurized. He certainly didn't give in and he didn't crumble under it. In actual fact, he rose above it and he did hold his ground. One of the mistakes that I have made in ministries over the years was being unprepared for the pressure that often came from the most unexpected sources. I am more alert to it now, but many, many times when I have come under pressure, it came when I was least, I wasn't even expected, to be honest, so I was least expected, and it came from situations and sources that amazed me at times. I remember even here in the church family down through the years, you'd have one fellow come in and he wants something done one way. And you know, if you say yes to him, the next fellow's coming and said, that's the most ridiculous thing. I said, well, we have to look, don't mind them, they have an issue, let them deal with it. In the meantime, do my stuff. And so I found that really, really hard. But what Jesus is going to show us here, and what he's actually doing already, is he can show us that you can refuse to be put under that kind of pressure. There's a way of doing it. You can be pressurized, but you can refuse to take in that level of pressure. And what it requires, may I say, is spiritual, or in this case, backbone. That is what it requires. You have to learn to be able to hold your ground. No, not obnoxiously. Not obnoxiously, but you have to learn how to do that. And he'll show us in a minute how he did it. And this will be a help to us. Once I actually learned this, it made it an awful lot easier for me. Anyway, he says, who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. And we would say, obviously, his earthly family. Now you are his brother, in the earthly sense of brother. You are his mother. How would you respond to the next thing that he says? Remember, they're hearing this for the very first time. They are not expecting this response. They are expecting him, what? To crumble under the pressure, get him out, and get him home, and get him sorted. That's what's actually going on here. And then he asks, he says this. Then he looked at the circle, at those seated in the circle around him, and said, here are my mother and my brothers. A bunch of strangers, by the way. Probably including the disciples and all that. How would you feel if he's saying, these people are more important to me than you? That is precisely what he's saying. Can you see that the thing with earthly family and God is not equal? The problem is, when you're under pressure, they are put in such a way that they are equal. Family is only slightly underneath God in importance. That is not true. That is not true at all. Because he's looking, he's saying, who's my brother? He says, here are my mother, my brothers. And then, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Nothing got to do with family ties, with human connections, but everything got to do with doing the will of God. It's quite a shocking statement, isn't it? Can you imagine? They were literally put in their place. He didn't go out to them. They had to go back home, hightail it back home. But the thing is, we are no way as important as we thought we are. We haven't got the influence that we thought he had. And what he's really saying is, these people are more important to me than you, because they are doing, they're willing to do the will of God. And apparently at this stage, his immediate family were not. Now, the reason why these passages are not preached too often, well, first of all, they're not very popular. You can see why. Who are my mother and my brothers? You know, because family is really important. And then he says, well, actually, whoever does the will of God is my thing. So when you get passages like this, we look for the great world, in the evangelical world called, we need to find balance. How often have you heard that? Balance. You know, you've got to find the balance between a commitment to God and your commitment to family. Family comes second, by the way. A good second. It's not equal, a good second. For many people, as I say, family and God are equal. But often behind that, and that word balance, is a word that I used last week called control. When people pressurize you, what they want to do is control your actions and what you are doing. That's what they're trying to do. Ultimately, that's what it's control. And sometimes when people come and say, well, I think you need to be more balanced. Sometimes what they're actually saying is, I don't want your commitment to God to cost me in any way, or if I lose out in anything. That's what they're saying. Balance. I wish I had the wisdom such that I have today, back in the day, to handle some of this, especially when people came to me who were under pressure. And what I was always saying is, you need to keep a balance between God and family. And what the Lord is saying here is, actually, doing the will of God is the most important. Of course, the next thing you'll be said is, but you must love your family. And that's doing the will of God. And yes, it is. Yes, it is. But it is not God here and my family there. It isn't. And I think that's the reason why we have come a cropper on several occasions. The word is not balanced. That's not the word we're looking for, though that's always the word we're looking for. If there's a situation where there's crisis and there's pressure, you're trying to find a way out of it to compromise, aren't you? And say, if we can find some way of doing this and making the thing a small bit easier. No, I'm not talking about a fellow who's playing golf 6 nights a week. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. Some things are out of balance and they need to get back in shape. We know that. No, we're talking here specifically and solely in doing the declared and the known will of God. That's what we're talking about. There is a place for balance. But often with balance comes that great word called compromise. You can only get balance with compromise. There's no other way of doing this. Sure, there isn't. So the word, even though the word we look for would be balance, the actual thing, what Jesus is saying here is, whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother. So the word really that we don't use is priority. Who and what comes first? The reason why Jesus could stand his ground so easily and so clearly and not even go out to them was, this was something that he lived by. He came to this earth to do the will of the Father. Everywhere he went, everything he did was to do the will of the Father. And what he's saying here is, I want you to do the same thing. Now, we have nothing, it's never going to be anything like or close to what Jesus did. We know that. But God has a will and he has a purpose for us. All of us. And he said, you want to be close to me? Well, do my will. But what do we do, Jesus, when there's pressure on the home front? And we're guilty at all sides. I'm happy to do the will, Lord. I'm happy to do your will. But Lord, when the pressure comes on, what am I going to do? And most of the time, what we say is, you need to back off. Otherwise, the whole thing will crumble and will be worse off. I think that's what I've seen down through the years. What he's saying here is the actual reverse. It's one of the most freeing things in the world to be able to say is, my first priority is to do the will of God. And if that is collective as a family, it should be our first priority is to do the will of God and to be supporting each other in doing so, encouraging each other. But often the situation that Jesus is facing, we also face. We face it from immediate family times, sometimes extended family. You know, it's all right until you do something that is not seen as part of the culture or as not acceptable in their things. You're under pressure. Automatically, long ago, if you come to churches like this and, you know, you weren't seen as part of the mainline thing, you were seen as odd. And it was all right for a while, but then the pressure would be piled on. And I saw people caving in under it. Immense pressure. You see pressure coming from different people, and down through the years when this place is full, I don't know how many people came to me and telling me that to get rid of the kids slot, as it was at the time. How did I not bow to that pressure? Because it was immense. I got it from all angles. I'll tell you how I was able to do it. Because I knew that God had spoken to me. And you know what I said to them? Everything else can go in this meeting, but the one thing that stays is the kids slot. I said, I let go of the worship, we can let go of the sermon. The one thing I'm not willing to let go is this kid slot. That stays. Because I was utterly convinced, and we were proven right, though it was a very shaky start, that we did the right thing. We'll be dead and gone, and there'll be there people who've come and gone, sitting down having pints places, and they'll remember some of those kid slots and some of the things we had. They won't remember a word that I said, but they'll remember that. How did I not cave in? Because I knew what God's priority was. And all I had to do was simply please him. You have to make a decision who you're going to please. You don't want to go around and be awkward and obnoxious and, you know, get up people's noses. We're not saying that. But when the gun is put to your head and they say, choose, then I say, the will of God. So God help me, the will of God. That's what Jesus is doing here. Would you agree? He's not bound to it. He's just saying, what's most important is the will of God. I'll come to that in a minute. Let me ask you a question, a very serious question. If Jesus' earthly family had succeeded that day in getting him out, getting him back home, and putting an end to his ministry, which, by the way, most likely was the goal. So if they imagined that, what would the consequences have been? What would have been the knock-on effect? And question two, who would end up paying the price? It's very serious when you put it that way, isn't it? This is not just a difference of opinion. This is not a question about, I think this way, you think that way. It's much more serious than that. Because this is the known will of God. So if Jesus had caved in, went back home and didn't do another thing, and his ministry ended, the consequences would be is we would have no hope. There would be no hope. And who would end up paying the price? Every one of us. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So can you see why he was just so dead on with truth and so direct? Here's my mother, here's my brothers. Those who do the will of God. Because there's a huge amount at stake. The question though that I have to ask and that you need to ask yourself is simply this. How much of a priority is doing the will of God for you and me? Because this is what it comes down to in a minute. How much of a priority? You see, what I've heard on through the years, yes, I want to do the will of God. I have met nobody who said no this far. But what they say is, I want to do the will of God, but only as far as it doesn't cause me hassle. Once I get hassled, then I am in trouble. And that's exactly what happens. Now, my question is, if you quit, you cave in, and I suppose we've all done it at times, who ends up paying the price? It's a very good question, because we know how we can answer that question for Jesus. We would have paid the price. So if there is the will of God, and it's ministering to people, whatever the case may be, and we say no because the pressure is coming on us too much, who ends up losing? Do you know, I've asked that question many times to people. Do you know the most common answer I've got is this? I really can't think about that right now. Do you know how I say back to them? Truth be known, you can, but you won't. Because often what matters in that situation is simply getting out from under the pressure. How to survive and thrive when under pressure from the home front. Two choices. Cave in or hold your ground. That's all you have. There is nothing else. When you're looking for a balance, to trying to find a way to do the will of God and please everyone behind you, you're trying to find, there is not a balance. Balance is the incorrect way of doing it. Learn from me. It's not the way to do it. Because the people who come after are not interested in balance. The only thing they're interested in is getting their way. That's the reason why balance doesn't work. If they were all balanced in situations, we'd find some way around it and we go. But their thing is not balance. Their thing is to get you to quit. So therefore then, the only way that you have make any half-decent attempt to hold your ground and even not cave in under the pressure is simply this. You have to prioritize what is most important to you. And Jesus very clearly says you can't do it both ways. You're going to have to choose here. And the first priority has to be to do the will of God. Every one of us who proclaim the name of Jesus should have that attitude and that mindset. We may need to go back in the game and say, Lord, am I getting this team right? Lord, correct me, redirect me. We may have to do all of that. But if the intent is to do the will of God before everything else, and that's our priority, it's very hard then to get people to cave in under that kind of pressure. Because their whole focus then is on what? Pleasing God. I've had people here and say, Pat, I think you've gone off track down through the years. One fellow said to me, he says, I think you're a brutal leader. You might be a half-decent hospital chaplain. And I said to him, why would you say I'm a brutal leader? He said, because nobody is willing to follow you. And I said, And he said, what are you going to do? I said, we'll pray right now. Lord, I am where I am. Correct me, because I'm capable of getting here wrong. Redirect me. Do whatever you need to do. Speak to me. And whatever, if there's anything that I'm getting wrong, show me, and I'm willing to change it. But Lord, until you do that, I am staying right where I am. Then I said to the brother, no, it's your turn. Do you know nobody that came in front of me prayed that prayer? I'm capable of getting it wrong. Of course I am. But what I'm saying is, Lord, I'm willing to put you first. And if I am wrong, come back to me and God knows we'll change it. So we saw that with the Sermon on the Mountain, all kinds of dates. So things do go pear-shaped. No question about it. All right, I need to finish here. How to survive and thrive when under pressure from the home front. Now, the home front is very broad, right? You know what I mean? It's very, very broad. We could even put in-laws there. But anyway, we'd be charitable. You have only two choices. And once I discovered that, it made it much easier for me. I cave in or I hold my ground. It's very simple when it's like that. This is the will of God. Cave in or hold my ground. Number two, the key word here is not balance. How do I sort this out? The key word is priority. Who do I please first? Who matters the most? Then it makes it kind of quite easy then, doesn't it? At least my thinking is somewhere straight. Number three, who will pay the price if I cave in? Who will end up getting hurt or not being ministered to if I don't do what it is I'm called to do? And I can't think about that right now. Will not be an acceptable answer before the Lord on the day he'll ask the question. Number four, this is a great one, isn't it? Do I want to be close to Jesus? I never met a person who has said no, maybe out in the world and say, I'm not too sure about it, but we'll say in the Christian circles that you and I follow, do I want to be close to Jesus? And the answer is yes. Even those who are piling on the pressure will say yes. Then he shows us how we do it. I must put him first before myself and all others. And with the utmost respect, brother and sister, you must do likewise. That's what I say. If we put God first before myself, because that can be the biggest obstacle, and then others, then I have some chance. Final comment. If I'm not willing to do the will of God, this is a question I ask myself, then what's my purpose on earth? What in the heck am I doing here? Apart from taking up space, what am I doing? Now somebody says, well, I'm here to enjoy life. Well, that's not why I'm here. The Lord does try and stuff, you know, and I do enjoy some stuff. But ultimately, I am here to do his will. If I want to be close to him, and God knows I probably could do a lot better, at least I know the only way, or one of the ways I can get close to him is put him as a priority, put myself second, not easily done, and the rest third. You know, and so what I do then is I have found when I have adopted that way of thinking, the Lord gives me time to do ministry. He gives me time for family. Well, it's nice, only Fionnuala and myself rattling around the house, cat and dog. But he gives us time to do things, and then other people hopefully are blessed. But I can only do that if I put him first and say to lads. So when lads come to me, I say straight away is I'm going to do the will of God. So then they can pressurize me all they want. Makes no difference. I'm still going to do the will of God. And it's something that is very, very free. So maybe we've got to you and you caved in the first time. Then my hope and prayer is the Lord will give you a second chance at something. You know what I mean? And this time you have a reasonable chance of doing it. Cave in or hold your ground. Don't look for balance. Look for priority. Put the will of God first. And you won't go wrong. May others may think you are wrong and may see you as wrong, but in the eyes of God, you will not be wrong. That's how to survive and indeed thrive under pressure. That is what I have learned. I'm still learning. Hopefully there won't be much pressure coming for the meantime anyway, but and there isn't by the grace of God. Lord, we do thank you. What has been said, Lord, and we just pray now, Lord, that you will use it and that you would encourage people, Lord, that you're a God of second chances. And Lord, some may have caved in too quickly, but Lord, there's another opportunity that will be given to them. And Lord, we pray that something is said there will help them. And Lord, that we will be a help to them. So Lord, that we'll not be a stumbling block or a source of pressure. Lord, that we will be a source of encouragement and support to them in wanting to do the will of God. And all God's people said,